Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Paul Larkin of the Heritage Foundation, the John and Barbara and Victoria Rumpel Senior Legal Research Fellow, to comment on two points that are revelations to me. One, a Supreme Court case from 1978, and the other, a book that Paul highly recommends from a professor at NYU, Rachel Barkow, the Charles Seligson Professor of Law at the New York University School of Law. The title of the book gives something away, Justice Abandoned, 2025. Paul, a very good evening to you. Your essay at Civitas Outlook for Civitas Institute, the University of Texas at Austin, is all news to me. And so I go immediately to a Supreme Court case. I've learned to talk Supreme Court cases. It slows everything down and I get to smile. Bordenkercher versus Hayes, 1978. It strikes me, the facts are affixed, that Bordenkercher was a man, I believe, who had offended more than once, twice, in fact, previously. And the third time he was detained for passing a bad check for less than $100. However, because that is the third time felony, he was vulnerable to being sent to jail or at least condemned to jail for life. Whether he served it or not was another matter. And that takes us to the prosecutor's decision-making to use that severe penalty in order to win the case without a trial. Have I summarized correctly of Bordenkercher? Good evening to you, Paul.
Good evening to you, John. You have summarized it correctly, and let me say I'm honored to be on your show.
Thank you. What is Professor Barkow's opinion of that case is that it is disproportionate to the felony, and that life imprisonment, which followed because Mr. Bordenkercher chose to ask for a trial and he lost it, being guilty according to the courts, that the punishment is so severe, and that Professor Barkow links this to mass incarceration. How so, Paul?
Well, what she says is that the Bordenkercher case is critical to the development of what has been called mass incarceration, that is, the imprisonment of an unduly large number of people in the United States. Bordenkercher is critical because you can't have mass incarceration unless you eliminate jury trials. And Bordenkercher eliminated jury trials by allowing prosecutors to charge a defendant with an ungodly long sentence that would follow upon a crime, and therefore to choose some sort of plea bargain rather than go to trial. She says that unduly burdens a defendant's choice of a trial, which she says should be cost-free. In the Bordenkercher case, he turned down the plea agreement, demanded his right to a trial, and rather than get a relatively short sentence of 5 years that was parolable, he got a mandatory sentence of life that was parolable, but there was never any guarantee of getting parole. That, she says, changed around plea bargaining dramatically and has allowed mass incarceration to occur because you are encouraging people, basically with a gun at their head, to plead guilty rather than to go to trial. That, she says, is unconstitutional.
The puzzle here is, as I understand it, plea deals are used often in favor of the defendant, because a trial, which would likely result in a conviction when you have evidence and there's a genuine crime, that is not something that people would rationally choose. I find it odd that Bordenkercher, I don't have the facts, chose to defend himself from a bad check. I mean, it seems trite on his part. Isn't the plea deal about being kinder or more generous or or at least humbler than if you could as a prosecutor and you know, hang them?
No, it is. Keep in mind that in the case of blue-collar or street crimes, like the one that Bordenkercher was charged with, or excuse me, Hayes was charged with, he committed the crime, as you said. He had no real defense to it. And so my guess is he wanted to go to trial simply to take a chance that the jury would let him off because it was such a minor offense. You know, the prosecution can't offer you a plea deal that imposes a greater punishment than what the legislature has authorized. So it is always going to be a lesser punishment. What you have in most cases is a trade-off, therefore. Prosecutors are willing to accept a plea to a lesser crime in order to guarantee the conviction. And the defense are encouraged to do that by realizing that if they don't, then they go to trial. And if there is no real defense to a crime, the trial becomes, as a federal district court judge once told me, a slow plea hearing, in which case everybody knows how it's going to end because the evidence of guilt is overwhelming. So there is ordinarily an incentive on each party's side to come to some sort of reasonable agreement. In the Bordenkercher versus Hayes case, the problem was the defendant turned down what looks like a reasonable agreement and then wound up getting hammered with an unduly severe penalty.
You report that plea bargaining disposes of 95% of today's criminal cases. And Professor Barkow finds that too high, unacceptable evidence of abuse. Is that correct?
Yeah, she says that what's happening is legislatures are passing criminal sentencing laws that impose ungodly long terms of imprisonment. And then prosecutors use those to essentially force a defendant to plead guilty, even if there is a reasonable case to be made that the defendant is not guilty. I don't know the exact number of innocent people who are pleading guilty. I don't know that in part because nobody keeps that sort of data, and in part because the people who truly are innocent usually wind up on the white collar rather than the blue collar crime side. The reason is in blue collar cases, like the Bordenkercher versus Hayes case, there's no question about what happened. The only question is who did it. So if the police find who did it, there's never really much dispute. The dispute changes in white-collar cases. In white-collar cases, there's no doubt who did it because you have documents. But the question is usually, is what the person did a crime? So you have more trials because there are more litigable issues in white-collar cases than there are in blue-collar cases. But I don't think that's a problem that the Constitution is designed to offer a defense to.
The Professor Barkow, points not to the prosecutors, not to the courts at hand for trying Mr. Hayes, but to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is faulted for having permitted this or having allowed all of this to go forward with its blessing. If I understand it, we now read a quote from Chief Justice Rehnquist. Justice, though due to the accused, is due to the accuser also. The concept of fairness must not be strained till it is narrowed to a filament. We are to keep the balance true. It's difficult to argue with that. Does Professor Barkow argue with that?
No, she doesn't address that point. I think that point, which was made recently by former Chief Justice Rehnquist and was made earlier by Justice Benjamin Cardozo, shows that you can't look only at the interests of the defendants in deciding what the Constitution permits in a criminal justice system. You also have to look at the government's interest. In the criminal system, they are trying to enforce laws dealing with conduct that generally is not remedied through the payment of money from one person to another, as there would be in a case of a broken contract or a tort. This is the sort of conduct that no one wants to occur, whatever, and so imprisonment is the usual penalty for criminal violations because you don't want the conduct to occur at all. But if you're deciding that nothing can be done to make it more expensive for a defendant to go to trial, then you are discounting entirely the government's interests on its side of the balance, and that comes up very clearly in plea bargaining.
I'm speaking with Paul Larkin of the Heritage Foundation. We're discussing a new book from Professor Barkow at NYU, faulting the criminal justice system and the Supreme Court for mass incarceration in the face of what appears to be brutal treatment of people who are without adequate resources through most of their lives. So when we come back, what is to be done?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.